Be seated. Well, today is the last Sunday after the Epiphany, and we end Epiphany much like we began it, with me wearing white and not green, because the theme of the day, the word of the day, is God's glory being revealed. This time, not leading the Magi to the manger to see the glory in Jesus, but up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And we hear the voice of God, or rather, and in the baptism of Jesus, hearing the voice of God crying out, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And realizing that this word of God speaking of his beloved Son is not something new to the gospel story, that it appears in Psalm 2, where there's a promise to Israel of a son of David to be a Messiah and a new ruler and king over Israel. And this kind of continuity in the story is important. But it's important not just because we like continuity and we like straight lines and it helps us to see that all of the story fits together nicely. But more to the point, to see that continuity is to see God showing up. It's to engender a trust in us as it engendered a trust in Israel, that the hopes and promises of his people actually do come true, that even as they waited in exile for hundreds of years, that the glory showed up again. That they actually were, that if they were to listen to God, they would see God's promises come true. And that their hope that those promises would come true is not in vain. This fear that God's doing something that we won't like, that God is keeping secrets from us, that that we have to doubt what it is that God says to us, is in fact a theme in the story of Israel, and a story that comes up on this day especially, one in which God is revealing his glory to Moses on Mount Sinai, just like we read just a few moments ago. Moses is spending 40 days and 40 nights surrounded by the glory and majesty of God, receiving the Ten Commandments. "You shall not worship any gods but me, and you shall not make any graven images and worship them." And while that's going on, at the top of the mountain, Israel is at the bottom of the mountain, making golden calves. Now, we don't talk about this story too much because it's more fun to talk about the glory, but it's remarkable, isn't it? That even as the glory of God is shining around Moses, that for the time that he's gone up there, Israel, down at the bottom of the mountain, is looking around and looking at Aaron, Moses' brother, and saying, "Moses has been gone for a really long time. We're afraid that he's never going to come back. We don't know what God is up to, and we're pretty sure that God has just delivered us out of Egypt to leave us to die out here, because there is nothing out here for us to live on." And so what they do is they, in their fear, is they gather up all their gold and they melt it down and they make an image, an idol. And that idol is meant to be for them something that they can hang on to. That they're not necessarily up at the top of the mountain. Moses is up there, but they need something that they can hang on to, something that they can touch and see so that they can get God to do what it is that they want God to do so that they can survive. And while Moses is up at the top of the mountain after the section that we read this morning, God tells Moses, he says, "This is what all the people are doing." And it makes him angry. And the most remarkable thing happens. I mean, it's one of the strangest sections of the scriptures. Moses changes God's mind. Moses looks at God and says, don't be mad at your people. Don't be mad that they're afraid. Remember the promise that you made to our fathers to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Don't let other people say, or the Egyptians say, that he just led us out of Israel, out of Egypt to kill us. Make good on your promise. Don't cast us out of your presence because in our fear we make idols for ourselves, ways in which we can try to save ourselves and worship things that are not you. Make good on your promise and save us. And so when Moses comes down the mountain of Mount Sinai, he sees everything that's happened and the mess that Israel has made. And he takes the Ten Commandments and he throws them on the ground and he shatters them and they break. And then Moses goes back and he talks to Israel and then he goes back up the mountain. And the covenant that Israel, that God makes with Israel is renewed. And what Moses says the second time he goes up on the mountain, after Israel has made their idols and made a mess of the promise that God has made for them, he tells God, "Show me your glory. Let me see your face. Show me the fullness of your presence. Give me some confidence." And when we're walking around the wilderness, we know that what you're doing for us is good. And it is the first time in the scriptures that a refrain will be made that is made of God over and over and over again. And it is the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. It will be a refrain that Israel says over and over in its life, both as it continues to make idols because it is afraid that God is out to get them, or that they won't be saved, or that their promises, that God's promises won't come true, and also as a confidence of their own faithfulness, that their obedience to God is good, that what God's authority and his reverence and his majesty and his glory means is that he can be listened to and he can be trusted because he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. When I talk to people, it is a common refrain for me to tell them, and it's because someone, my counselor, told it to me once before when I really needed to hear it, that God is not keeping secrets from us, like we are afraid that he is. I mean, the imminence of God's glory, the shining forth is what Revelation is about. I'm laying it all bare for everyone to see. And that doesn't mean that we don't get afraid, but there are so many lies that we can tell ourselves because there are so many lies that have been told to us. That there is a fear that something is going on in government or in politics that we don't know. And if it just gets exposed, right, then we can know all the secrets and we can know that our leaders actually want good things for us because we're afraid that that's not true. And this happens in the church also. The church has held enough secrets that need to be exposed so that in that repentance, in shining forth the light, we can see clearly our own sin, so that we can come to God and receive that mercy. So, but it can be so hard to trust what God is like. It can be so hard to trust that what God is up to is actually for our good because there are so many distractions and so much pain. And what we think is good is not always actually good, but in fact an idol that we're hanging on to, that we have to let go of so that God can do his work. And the season of Lent, which we're about to come to in just a couple of days, is about moving into the wilderness so that we can lay ourselves bare in vulnerability and we can trust that God is someone to be listened to. But before we do that, before we enter into that, we get this moment of revelation. This moment that Moses experiences twice on Mount Sinai and on the Mount of Transfiguration. That there with Jesus, we see who God actually is. That he is someone to be listened to. Someone who keeps his promises. That the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. This is what Jesus does with Peter and James and John, that he takes them and he takes them by the hand and he walks them up the Mount of Transfiguration as if to say, I want to show you something. Because what he's just told them is that the Son of Man has to go suffer and die. That he's moving towards the cross. And that anybody that wants to follow Jesus has to take up their cross and follow him. And Peter is looking at Jesus and say, far be it from me, Lord, that that is actually going to happen. That doesn't sound like a good thing for any of us. Peter is afraid that they're going to lose, that Jesus is going to lose, that God's word isn't actually trustworthy. That God isn't going to keep his promises. He's afraid that Jesus may not be the one if he's going to die in that way. If he betrays God in the way that he will betray God. But Jesus takes them by the hand and walks them up and says, I want you to see something. I want to show you my glory. I want to open you up so that you can experience, even if you don't understand, the amazing, furious vitality that is God. That Peter gets to experience what Moses experienced there on the mountain, that when he said, show me your glory, that's exactly what God did. But he told Moses, he said, if I show my glory to you directly, it will kill you because it's so heavy. So you've got to hide here under the rock to protect yourself. And even hiding, the glory was so great that Moses had to have a veil over his face because the reflection of the light of God's majesty was so bright when he came back down from the mountain, the day that God's covenant was renewed at Sinai. He said, but this time there is no veil. There is no rock. There is no hiding. Peter is there as vulnerable as can be up in the light of day while God's majesty shines forth and he gets so afraid that he just falls down on his face. And there, when it's all over, all he sees is Jesus. Because Jesus is the expression, is the presence, is the glory of a God who is merciful and gracious. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Keeping steadfast love for thousands. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Jesus then tells Peter and James and John, don't tell anybody about this until the Son of Man comes. Until the cross happens. Because there is there that it's not kept a secret. God's glory is laid bare for all to see. That he has not asked us to do anything that he himself will not do. That God has laid himself bare in vulnerability. That he has obeyed his own rules. That he has kept his promises. I will be your God and you will be my people and nothing will keep me from that. He shows the intimate knowledge of his love and faithfulness and forgiveness on the cross. That he is patient and kind. That he longs to be with us. And it is there that we see it in Jesus. And that when he is risen 3 days later, in God's Shekinah glory, the presence of God in the temple shines forth for all to see. The first words he says are the same words that Jesus says to Peter. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because I will be with you. I have been with you from generation to generation. I am with you now in sin and guilt and death. And I will be with you in glory and everlasting life. Because the Lord, is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Jesus shows forth his glory so that we can know in the midst of the wilderness and as we enter into the wilderness for our own 40 days and 40 nights in the season of Lent, that Jesus can be trusted. That when we give ourselves over, when we surrender our hearts and make ourselves vulnerable before God in silence, in meditation, in prayer, and indeed in listening to the scriptures, that God is present with us. That these men and women spoke from God just as God speaks to us now so that we can let go of our idols and so that we can become mirrors of God's glory, as Moses was to his people, as Peter and James and John were to the early church, as the generations before us were to us. That when they were there wondering if God was keeping secrets from them, if God was out to get them, if God wasn't going to keep his promises, they stayed right there and they said, "Show me your glory." And he did. He did in Jesus. He does in Jesus. Because God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, who keeps steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And so we can listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.